thought it was, I was almost, I got to tell you guys, I was almost disappointed in a way. I was expecting more to happen. You know, I really think these guys tried to make deals, but I think the combination of the expansion draft and the tight cap really prevented a lot from occurring. But, you know, hey, somebody told me earlier today, he said he thinks if Columbus stays, they're taking Dubois and they're going to throw the draft on its ear. And, you know, I didn't believe him, but I texted him right after. You are a very smart man, because it's exactly what occurred.
Were there, like, how many more trades were being discussed? How many things were close, do you think?
You know, Peter Chiarelli said that he, you know, he was 75% of the way to something, and then it kind of fell out. He also said he had something bigger that didn't involve the fourth pick. And I think what a lot of that was, there's a lot of speculation of Minnesota, like a Nugent Hopkins for Dumba or Brodin kind of deal. But, you know, everybody denied that to me. So I think that was probably the other close one that was there. But, you know, I think a lot of these guys got into position where they just said, we're taking the number one guy on our list, and that's what we're going to do.
We heard a lot about the conversations taking place between Brad Treliving,
yep,
Peter Chiarelli, and Jarkko, yep, Kekalainen before the draft. Any idea what that was all about? They spent a lot of time together.
Well, the one thing that Kekalainen said after the draft was he was not willing to go down below four. So, and I think I know why. Vancouver, they knew Vancouver was not letting Dubois get past them. And that's the guy they wanted. And they knew they couldn't go down lower and still get him. I understand the Vancouver guys kind of became aware last night that they weren't going to be able to get their guy, and they went with Yolevi instead, who I think is going to be a heck of a player. I like the draft pick. But that was the conversation, was how could it all get done with Columbus still being in a position where they could get Dubois as a player.
Elliot, didn't you get the sense coming in that if anybody was going to swing it, it was going to be the Oilers? And
yeah.
And then Columbus goes ahead and does it. I want to ask you this question, and it's hard to answer, but what I can't stop thinking about is Puljujärvi seemed to be a consensus-type guy.
Yes.
Now, you're talking about an organization with two people at the top of player personnel, mm-hmm, from that country. Is there something they knew that other people didn't?
I would say yes, and I'll give you a third tie-in.
Okay.
The assistant general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets is Bill Zito. The agency he used to work for represents Puljujärvi. So there's three guys there who knew him really well and passed. So, you know, if you look at Kekalainen's history through Ottawa and St. Louis, he doesn't take a lot of Finns.
No, it's true.
So, I don't know. Like, he had the good line, I'll just go to my cottage and shut myself out. But, you know, for whatever reason, like, these guys knew him great. And they just made this. It's like awards voting, Peter. If you pass up on somebody, you must hate that guy.
Yeah.
But maybe you just decide you like somebody else better.
True.
PK Subban's name was out there. By the way, Elliot Friedman with us here on the draft floor. It's a couple more, and then we'll let you go. But PK Subban's name was out there. Ben Bishop's name was out,
yep,
there. Like, are these names still out there as we move further into the offseason?
Mark Bergevin threw cold water on Subban today. You know, when the scrum in the area behind us here, they asked him, he says, I'm not taking any more questions. I took them all yesterday. You know, Jeff Merrick did a really good job of getting a couple of answers out of him. And he said, look, like, he's going to be a Montreal Canadian. So he threw cold water on all of that. You know, the one thing I really believe, Pat, is if they were going to have to make that deal, it was going to have to be a spectacular deal, because their fan base would be ready to burn them down if it wasn't. And I just looked at what Vancouver had, and I didn't see a deal there. And I'll tell you, I know George Larac reported yesterday that they were asking for Draisaitl on the four. I've been told it was more than that, like considerably more than that. And he was not, Chiarelli was not going to do that. The other one I heard was on the table was Colorado, and it's been reported it was Barry, Duchesne, and a first rounder. But guys told me it wasn't even close to that. So I just don't think there's a deal there right now that the Montreal Canadiens could make that won't result in their fans laying waste to the city.
And Brian Elliott, the Flames appear to have something, yep, they haven't had since Mika Kiprusov, and that is a number one goaltender. Do you get the sense he was plan A, or were they just unable to get Ben Bishop, Marc-Andre Fleury, or somebody else?
I wouldn't want to label guys plan A, B, and C, Derek, but I think what they had were like a bunch of different streams that they could go down, or a bunch of different routes they could go down. I'm a big Brian Elliott guy. The great story I've heard about him was, you know, the year Marc-Andre Fleury went first, he went last. And he was a goalie at the University of Wisconsin. He played a style And he talked about this with me once, where he basically let half the net open and he dared you to shoot at it. And in the NCAA at that time, you could get away with that. And so he gets drafted. He shows up in Ottawa, or he gets drafted. The coach, the goalie coach then at the time, was Ron Lowe. And he said, you know what you're going to have to change about your game? And Brian Elliott said, everything. And he goes, yeah. You know, because you won't be able to do that here. So here's a guy who was the last pick of his draft. He was told he had to change the entire way he played to get drafted, and is look where he is now. And I like people who are competitive. Kenny Holland once told me, I said, well, you know, I figured the most important thing you look at in your drafts is skill. And he said, no, the most important thing we look at is competitive nature of a person. I think you're getting a guy who's going to come in here and he's going to be pissed off. You know, he feels he should have been the number one guy. He obviously isn't the long-term guy in St. Louis. I think he's going to be motivated to play and play great. He doesn't cost you a ton in terms of his salary or the pick to get him, mm-hmm. and he's going to want to be there. Like, I heard the other day that when it was raised to him that he could end up here, he wanted to be here. At the end of the day, I think that's a lot of things you like about a guy.
And, Elliot, I'm sure, obviously, you said you're high on him. The one thing, whenever I talk to somebody who's around St. Louis the last few years, they just rave about what kind of person he is and the type of work ethic he has. And I think with a young team like Calgary is, you know, growing towards, in their case, hopefully bigger and better things, that's a nice type of person to have in your room, too.
Yeah, I think you'd have to ask Brad Tree Living this, but I think one of the things I understand is he was told was he'll make the practices more competitive because he's kind of like that. You know, he's got a bit of an edge to him, Brian Elliott. Like, if you ask him a question he doesn't like, he'll tell you he doesn't like that question. But it's not in a jerky kind of way. It's more like in a jousting kind of way. I do think that's a very good way to describe him. And like you say, he's coming in with a huge chip on his shoulder to prove that he deserves to be a number one guy. And he's been overlooked a lot in his career. The guy who says really good things about him is Corey Hirsch. Now, I don't know what kind of a good witness Corey Hirsch is, but he's got a lot of the good things to say about Brian Elliott.
Yeah, he raved about him when he was on with us a little earlier. Final question before we let you roll. How busy do you expect tomorrow to be, specifically on the trade front?
Well, the one thing now is in 36 minutes, the window opens up, right? So that adds another layer to this. You know, teams can talk to unrestricted free agents. I don't think they can talk to restricted free agents for, I think, two or three more days. But they can talk to unrestricted free agents. You know, Yzerman was asked about Stamkos tonight, and he didn't really go anywhere on it. And, you know, he just said, you know, we'll consider all our options, including keeping him in a sign-and-trade. I think that's going to be the dominant story of the next 5 to 7 days is, you know, where he is and where he's going.
Thank you, Ellie. Appreciate
yes, thank
it.
You.
We'll see
no worries, guys. Have a good night.